Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio and Toyland Productions presents The Rock Stevie Show, your source for inspiration and information. And once again, as always, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out this Sunday just to make this part of your night. And we are in a different time slot tonight. We are at prime time, so everybody that's listening to us live, really thank you for the time change. And also, we are running a little bit longer today. We're running for 1 hour instead of 30 minutes because we realize that a lot of the topics that we talk about, very hard to get in a 30-minute time frame. So definitely appreciate everybody listening right now. And also, we thank everyone that was on Love Talk on Friday, had a really interesting topic, and we got a lot of big things that we're trying to talk about for the next week. So once again, Ron Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, and we have a lot of different topics we're going to talk about today. The main topic is grand opening, grand closing. Why is it difficult for black-owned businesses or businesses or companies that kind of, quote-unquote, care to the minority consumer, the black consumer? Why does it have a hard time to keep going? Why does it have a hard time to function? Why is it a hard time to be sustainable in our community? Everybody knows that the African-American community is one of the largest consuming community in the country. And the African community is building that to be the largest consuming company consumers in the world. However, we still make up a small percentage of businesses that are being owned and businesses that last more than 5 years. A lot of small businesses, a lot of organizations that are building right now, more than 6 months to a year. And why is that? Is it the fact that, you know, we can't get the resources? Is it the fact that we can't have the proper advertising? Or to do certain mass advertising, we're not getting the avenues in order to channel that advertising? Or is it because we are not supporting our businesses? So I would like to hear from you. You can tweet me. You can go on RC44. You can go on Facebook at Rodney Stevenson. Let me know what you think about this particular topic, and we're going to try to keep that going as well. But before we start that, we are sponsored today by Tranquil Minds, Massage and Wellness. We're still having a lot of springtime specials. If you look onto my Facebook post in the next day, probably tomorrow or Tuesday, you're going to see some really big specials that are going on. So anybody that's in the D.C. metro area, please keep a lookout for that. And that's, like I said, that's going to be on probably within the next day or two onto my Facebook account. Also, once again, I want to just go over a couple of things that we were discussing last week. The last week's topic was higher learning, lessons in racism, really big topic there. And after the show aired, there were actually some really, really eye-opening stats that were released by the U.S. Department of Education in regards to the same topic that I was mentioning. So one thing that was really interesting was the fact that we were giving local and regional numbers in Maryland and Colorado when it came down to academic disparity when it comes out to suspensions and expulsions. So the following day of that Monday, the national review was released. The first thing that I've noticed was 15% of children that were suspended or expelled in the 2012-2013 school year were African American. So to put that in perspective, one out of every six children that were suspended or expelled in 2012-2013 were African American. I'm not including the Latino population. I'm not including the Asian, Native American, Pacific population. I'm just including African American children, one out of every six. Compare that to 5% of Caucasians. So African-American kids are three times more likely to be suspended or expelled compared to their Caucasian counterparts. I found that very eye-opening, very interesting, especially the time frame when I was just speaking on that last week. So this is something that needs to be addressed and needs to be fought. Now, here's the stat that really got me. When I first read this, I said this surprised me wholly, but it's still really embarrassing, to the school system, ashamed that we are letting this go, and wondering why our educational system is failing in our communities. The big stat was from preschool. 3 years old, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. In 2012-2013, across the nation, of course, these children are not being expelled or suspended from preschool. Hopefully there's not any institutions that are out there suspending 3-year-olds for some disciplinary action. However, just overall discipline in the preschools, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and 5-year-olds in 2012-2013 went as follows. 48% of those that were expelled or suspended 2012-2013 preschools were African American. Virtually half were were disciplined in the school system. 48%. So what that does, it creates an immediate level of discipline. Disciplinary action. You're instilling in these 3-year-old and 4-year-old kids that they're going to be problem children. And when we do that, when we cause this psychological aspect that our children are going to be disciplined that early in life, all that does, it makes it very difficult for these children to grow up and be successful. Because they're being punished so early and being punished consistently at 3, 4, and 5 years old that they feel that that's the common standard in the educational system, and that builds when they go into middle school, when they go into high school, when they go into college, and when they decide, you know what, I'm going to develop my own business. So it brings it back to the home focus, the home point tonight, you know, why are our businesses struggling? And it's from the jump. We're not getting resources, we're not getting assistance in our educational system to know the right business sense at the very beginning, at the very elementary level. You know, while other countries like China, Japan, even a lot of countries in Western Africa are teaching their children about strong business practices, how to develop a strong business sense, how to create a good business where we can be successful, what do we do in our community? We don't teach that. One, it's very difficult to even get the resources to generate or start a business because maybe the families don't have the resources as some of, you know, the Asian or Caucasian counterparts that are developing businesses. I mean, there's a lot of African-American men and women that could have been that Michael Dell, that could have been that Bill Gates, that could have been these guys that are creating these Tumblrs and Snapchats and Twitter. And you know, these guys that are creating these businesses are in their early 20s, starting in their late teens. And they're being successful because they had the financial backing, the business knowledge early on, and have the resources in order to build, blossom their ideas. First thing that causes a problem when it comes down to our businesses is that, you know, we have family members, we have friends, we have, you know, society telling us, oh, you shouldn't think about trying to build a business like that. You know, you can't do that in this community. Come on, you know, somebody could have thought of Twitter before the person that invented Twitter came out with it. It could have been done in Philly. It could have been done in Detroit. It could have been done here in D.C. However, first thing that happens is that when it comes down to, you know, even discussing this business option, is being pushed aside, saying, oh, no, you shouldn't even think about that. You should focus on, you know, just getting your education, graduating from school, and getting yourself a good government job so that way you have steady and stable income. That's the first thing we talk about. We don't talk about, oh, yes, expanding your dreams, expanding your knowledge, try to venture out and do something that you feel like you want to do. No. The first thing we hear is have a good, steady paycheck, have a good, steady job, a nice, good government job that pays the bills, and that's what we look for. And this is why we stunt the dreams of our children. Our children don't learn how to grow economically, financially, develop businesses because of the fact that immediately we say that's not the right option. that's not the right thing to do right now. You need to have that steady income, you know, so that way, you know, if you want to follow your dreams, maybe another time. Next, and so we have generations of children that see this long pending standpoint of not being able to develop their dreams. Like, why should I be a engineer and try to develop a business when, you know, I'm just going to go and work, you know, a nice stable job, you know, with the federal government or go into the military. And that's what happens. You know, this is something that shuts us down, that stunts our economic and business growth. So we already have in our frame of mind that, you know, this probably won't be the best option, probably won't be a good idea. So where to then? Say if, you know, we finally get off the ground and we have the idea that we want going. Next thing that happens is, you know, the resources. Where do you get the money? Where do you get the money to start this? And that's problem number two, getting the money to start it up. If you don't have the money, you don't have the resources to get it going, then it's not going to happen. This is one of the biggest killers in all businesses, no matter if you're, you know, black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter. That, of course, is the number one killer when it comes down to financial goals and business plans on that end. However, it's especially difficult in the African-American community because getting the resources is a little difficult. You know, and unfortunately, we don't have the wherewithal to get to the savings and loan and get a loan for a startup business. We may have the knowledge financially to invest, but we might not have the capital to invest. So then you don't have the capital, you don't have the backing, you don't have possibly don't have the economic and business knowledge because our children are being disciplined and suspended at a young age. So any goals and dreams that they may have to develop a business are being shot down from the beginning. So all this is happening at the very beginning. So you're telling your children, okay, let's start you want to start a business, that's nice, but that's not gonna work. Then when they get the green light to start their business, start their concept, they don't have the resources. Part three is the trickiest part. Part three is the trickiest part because once you get it started, you get your business going, what's the first thing that happens? Family members, you know, that were trying to help you out or that claim they want to help you out may not want to because they feel, okay, what's in it for me? Where's my discount? Where's my support? We say that jokingly at times, like, oh, well, if you get this, then I can get on, I can get me a discount on whatever product or service that you're doing, or, you know, I can get a hookup every now and then, or my friends can get a hookup, or other family members can get a hookup. Number one business killer, you got to keep the friends and business separated. If you try to give everybody a hookup on your goods and services, you'll never have any profit because if you give it to them one time, they're going to expect that over and over and over again. And thank you, everyone that was posting on the Facebook survey on that. A lot of people were talking about that, the hookup concept. And why is it that in our community we rely and depend on the hookup? We always rely and depend on the hookup like it's the number one thing that we have to do. You know, I'm not going to so-and-so's business because he didn't hook me up last time. That's supposed to be my family. Why can't I get in there because, you know, I want a hookup. I just want a couple dollars off. You know, it's $20. I don't want it for $20. You're supposed to sell it to me for $5 because I'm family. That is our killer. That's the crab in the barrel mentality that ends our businesses because we feel that we have to hook a brother up. We need to help a sister out. That's what we feel that has to be done. We keep doing that, we'll never be profitable. And once we got to get out of that hookup mentality, then we realize that we can be profitable. There's nothing wrong with discounts. There's nothing wrong with introductory sales. But there's a difference between an introductory sale and a hookup. Those hookups turn into IOUs. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're family. I'll take care of you later. You know, I'll pay you back later. You know I'm good for it. you know where I live, we're family, so let me get this discount, let me get this free product now, and then I'll pay you later. Once again, kills profits, kills businesses, because we're robbing from our own community by doing this. You don't see a Hispanic person walking into an Hispanic store, Hispanic-owned store, looking for a hookup. They're going to say, okay, hey, you know what? I'm going to come in here. I'm going to support you. I'm going to tell my friends about you. They're going to come in and support you because we understand you're trying to develop and grow your business and in turn develop and build our community. These Korean communities are building left and right throughout our cities because of the fact that when they come in, they're not looking for that discounted advantage. What they're going to do, they're going to work together. They're going to support your business, and then when they support your business, you in turn support their business. So you're supporting each other's businesses, making it profitable, building throughout the community, and then feeding it right back into the children that are seeing their cousins, their mothers, their fathers being profitable and being successful in their community. And what are they doing? They're learning, oh, wow, this is how businesses are supposed to work. This is the system. You help somebody out by buying their goods and services. They help you out by buying your goods and services. And meanwhile, we're feeding it into the community, feeding it into our children so that our children know how to be successful. That is the way businesses and communities should be run. It used to be run like that. We used to have this tight-knit society that we had, a tight-knit community. You go to a community, you go to the barbershop, you go to the clothing store, you'll go to the hair, to the salon, to the local, corner store, and we would support our community. And in turn, okay, hey, I go to the barbershop, I get my hair cut here, I get my food from here, and then the owners of the food store will go get their hair cut, so they'll promote the business of the people in that neighborhood in their individual stores. What happened to that? Why did we get away from that? You see places now on U Street here in Washington, D.C., on Malcolm X Boulevard in Harlem, places that used to be so close-knit and such a tight community and a tight area where our businesses were being supported, now you have a lot of these white-owned companies moving into our neighborhoods because we don't support the businesses. And it's not about, the economic structure. People say, oh, well, I don't support black-owned businesses because they charge too much. I can't afford to go there. They charge me $25 for a haircut. I can go to Korean spot to get it for $15. Or I'm not going to that grocery store that's owned by a black-owned company because they always overprice things. You know what? Things are overpriced because we always go in there looking for a hookup. If we start off a business and we start it properly, and we say, you support me, I'll support you. We support each other, we build and grow, keep the profits down. That's why we go to the Korean shop to buy little knickknacks. That's why we go to the Indian corner store to buy some low-end supplies. That's why we go to Hispanic restaurants to buy some food instead of the black restaurant that's been there for years, because of the fact that things are overpriced because we're not supporting them initially. So we have to raise the prices up in order to make a profit, in order to be successful. And with that in mind, once again, this is Rod Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, sponsored by Tranquil Minds Massage and Wellness. We're trying to make sure that we're building our communities and we're keeping it a convenient and affordable way to invest in our community by keeping sure that we're healthy and strong. So if you're interested in that, once again, tweet me, RSteve44. Hit me up on Facebook. There are specials, not hookups, but there's specials that you can definitely take advantage of in order to make sure our communities are healthy. Also, if there's any musicians, any artists that are looking to spend some time on this show and want to showcase your artwork, showcase your music, please once again hit me up on Facebook, Rodney Stevenson, tweet me at RSteve44, or you can also go on to TQMindByRod@gmail.com. These are different avenues where we can invest in our community. So once again, you know, we want to try to keep things going. We want to try to keep things moving. And just giving examples of some of the things that people were talking about hookups, we have people up and down, business people here from North Carolina to New York saying the same thing. Why do people expect me to give them a hookup or give them a discount before they even know even what product I'm offering? That is a major problem in our community. Before they even know what the product is, before they even hear what the product is, it's like, oh, well, hey, you know, I'll support you. Yeah, just, you know, just give me a discount, give me a hookup. You know, that's not the way to go about it. You know, there's different ways economically that you can maintain a successful relationship in the business without trying to look always for the discount. This is something that needs to be addressed in our community. Also, when we do invest in these particular products, just because you have one maybe off day, you know, you go into a restaurant, food wasn't as good as normal, don't go all on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everybody just blasting this particular place. Sometimes you got to give it a chance. You know, the opening day, the opening week, you know, it might be rough. You might have to wait a little extra time in order to get your food. Or, you know, you might have to wait a little longer to get your hair done. Or things like that. If you know, if it's a new lounge and restaurant and bar, you know, you might have to, you know, it might not be as, you know, as strong, or, you know, the ambiance might not be exactly where it needs to be. Businesses take time to develop. It takes time to realize, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what can we grow on, what can we expand on. One big problem when it comes down to the black-owned business, opening day, if something doesn't go 100%, not even 100%, it has to go beyond 100%. We have to, our expectations are so high that if one little minuscule thing goes wrong with that particular business, boom, that business is done. That business is shut down, and we lose everything. Why is that? Why do we set such a high bar that no particular business can achieve or attain, but yet when it comes down to people outside our community, when it comes down to people that we don't know, that we're not, that may not be, you know, in our community, that just came into our community and built a company, built an organization, we give them 3 months, we give them 6 months, we'll give them a year, and they're like, it was all right, but, you know, it's not too bad, I'll pay for that, you know, I'll pay $9 for Chipotle, but I'm not going to pay $4 for a half-smoked Ben's chili bowl. So these are the things that we do. Subconsciously, we set a bar so high. You know, say, hey, you know, I paid $4 for this sausage. I paid $4 for this sausage and my fry. Paid $8 everything for sausage, fries, and a drink. And this was terrible. I mean, my service, it took me 20 minutes to get my food, and the line was too long. There were three people in front of me, and it took forever to even place my order. And, you know, there was a speck of dust on the side of the wall, things like that, a spot on the window. This is what we do to our businesses. Yet and still, we'll run to McDonald's and spend $10 on three nuggets that aren't even that good and a watered-down drink. This is what we do. And that's why our businesses can't be successful. We have a few that, you know, that are still going strong. You know, you got your Sylvia's, you have your Ben's Chili Bowls, you know, your place that's been around for decades. But it's not just supporting those businesses. You know, they're getting national recognition because they get national recognition because there were people that came before us, our older generation, that supported and still supports it. I mean, last week, Bill Cosby just opened up a new Ben's Chili Bowl in Alexandria, Virginia. Bill Cosby's been going to Ben's Chili Bowl since it's open, back in the late 50s, for over 60 years. We don't do that continuous support. You know, we'll go to a barbershop once. You know, if the haircut was okay, but I paid $18, I'm not going back to that barbershop again. And this is what happens. There's no continuity and continuous support. Even when it comes down to individual, independent contractor, door-to-door sales, you know, the Avons, the Mary Kays, the different types of things like that, we don't support it because we feel that, oh, see, they're probably just trying to get over on me. you know, they feel like, oh, this person is just trying to get over on me. This person is trying to rob me of my money. I can go to CVS and spend $5 on some Mary Kay, you know, supposed Mary Kay-like products, but I'm not going to help this person out spend $6, $7. Why am I going to do that? And this is why when you see these marketing and management organizations and you see the people at the top, you'll see some, you know, mid-level that are successful African-American men and women. But the top level, the ones that's making the big bucks and traveling around in the Lear jets and all that, Caucasian. You know why? Because these people were supported by their families, by their friends, without hesitation, without remorse, without regard. They say, you know what? I'm going to support them because I believe they have a dream and a goal to be successful. So I'm going to spend $10, $15, $20, $50, $100 to try to support their dreams and support their business. We don't do that. You know, if there's a music artist that is trying to get out there, a production company that's trying to make something, you know, we're not going to spend $3 on their $3 on their little EP or 99 cents on a single in iTunes. No, we want it for free. The reason why we want it for free, because we feel we're entitled for it for free. Not caring about, oh, well, I know that, you know, I should get a free copy, but I'm going to just support them and just give them a dollar. No, we don't want to do that. Because why? We feel that there's an entitlement. You know, the hook a brother up, hook a sister up mentality that we have is destroying our businesses. It's destroying our communities. It's destroying the way that we can be successful. So I just want to see if anybody is interested in discussing this particular matter. You can go on Facebook today. And we can talk about this particular matter. Go on Facebook.com or Rodney Stevenson. We can talk about it on that level. Or you can tweet me at rsteve44. Phone lines are not working right now, but it's okay. You know, I really appreciate everybody that is listening in. And this will be, like I said, a one-hour show tonight. So we're halfway into this, and this is a really good feedback on this particular topic. Now, we have some people that want to talk about advertising and resources. I have a statement here in regards to advertising. Why do we concentrate so much on negative advertisement when it comes down to our black-owned businesses? And that's a really good question. Negative advertising has been a really big problem when it comes down to black-owned business. And it might be innocently subliminal when it comes down to these negative advertising. People think that, oh, you know, it's just trying to be catchy, you're trying to be smarter, trying to be current. This is where the image perception of our businesses get destroyed. You know, we feel that a lot of times we might have to denigrate ourselves to successfully promote our products. We feel like we might have to inadvertently go to stereotype in order to promote our products, because that's what we see other companies do when they promote their products to us. You know, you go on the TV and you see a Ford commercial 8 o'clock at night during, say, Parks and Recreation or something like that. That Ford commercial is going to look completely different than the Ford commercial that's on Centric. You know, at the same time slot, or the commercials that you see when you're watching Scandal might be different than when you're watching Revenge. Same network, pretty much similar time frame, but they know who they're marketing to. So this is where we have to decide how to properly market to us. So there's a couple ways to properly market to us. One, know your product. Know your product and how you want to promote that product. You know, if you're doing clothing, and you know your clothing is going to appeal to, you know, teenagers, young adults, yes, you can be current. You can be, you know, you can have, you know, music behind it. You can have a lot of different colorful ways to present the product, but do it in a way that's still positive. Don't do it in a way that just comes off as completely ignorant and does not have that big effect when you're promoting the product. If you come off unintelligent, if you come off ignorant, all that does is just makes it feel like for the younger people, I'm like, yeah, that was cool, but, you know, really it's not what I was looking for. Comes up to the older people as if, oh, well, I'm not investing any money in this because look the way he or she's advertising to our kids. Advertising in a way that's dumbing us down. And, of course, advertising is getting dumber and dumber each and every day. That's all across the board, white, black, Asian, you name it. We're dumbing ourselves down when we promote our product. But there's different avenues and different ways to promote the product and keep it current, keep it fun, you know, keep it entertaining, but at the same time, make it where the point is made. You know, the successful companies, such as, say, the downtown locker rooms or the you know, shoe cities, places like that, they're, you know, they have managed that way, keeping things current, keeping things active, keeping things entertaining, but not completely dumbing themselves down when they're advertising. Another thing, when we advertise, we have to make things pop. Spend that extra $10, $20, $30. You may say, oh, man, I don't have that right now. It's really tough. Times are hard. I understand. Economics is very difficult. But you have to spend that extra money in order to make sure that you have the right quality product. You know, it doesn't have to be very elaborate. Think about this. When the Macintosh came out 30 years ago, people saw just a simple Apple on the side of the computer. Now, you know, Steve's could have put a whole bunch of different, you know, colorful, elaborate advertising to it, but they kept it simple. You know, sometimes the best emblems and the best symbols are the simple ones. Dell, a circle with Dell's name on it. Very simple. You know, you don't have to go all out. Intel, these companies, they thought that, you know, very simple. Twitter, multi-billion dollar IPO. This kid, you know, 20 years old, decided, okay, I'm just going to put a bird on bird on my emblem, and that's it. And that's all. That's all it takes sometimes. Just a simple maneuver like that can change the whole way advertising is done on your company. We don't have to put the big tag-looking type design on our advertisement to make it think like, okay, we got to do this. At the same time, you don't want to put no $2 flyer together and think that that's going to help us create a successful business. You got to be professional across the board. You never know who's going to look at that advertising. You may say, okay, I'm going to advertise to you know, teenage people in our community, in our society. However, you might have someone, an investor, that looks at that advertising and say, you know what, I don't even know if this product is for me or is for my family or is for my children, but I'm going to invest in them because I believe that they have a product that can be successful. You got to look at that. You got to look at the advertising that you do. These $2 flyers that we do for our clubs and our businesses are not going to be successful long term because they're not going to get the advertising that's necessary to be successful. So you have to take a look at that. You have to realize that there's more to the advertising than just the glitz and glamour of the airbrushing of the style that you're looking for. And once again, for those who are wondering, man, we're going over 30 minutes today because this is a one-hour show. This is an important show right here because we're talking about our businesses, why our businesses are failing, because we're not doing certain steps. And I'm just bringing up a topic here, negative advertising. This was brought up on Facebook in regards to the negative style advertising that we have in our community when it comes down to our businesses. So there's a couple different ways to advertise it. Keeping it simple. You're spending a little bit extra on the flyers to make it seem like you're being professional. And the third thing, when it comes down to that, you are a walking advertisement. Be professional when you're presenting the product. And remember, even when you're not presenting your product, if you are a business owner, present yourself in a particular way. You know, this is something that should be taught. And going back to what we've been talking about, obviously, the teachers aren't caring about how to teach us this. You know, you got to represent your business at all times. You don't have to be a walking billboard. However, you don't want to, you know, be constantly on a train or in public transportation or in a restaurant, you know, acting belligerent, acting loud, acting rowdy. because that person that may hear you might be an investor, and they might feel, oh, man, you know what? I don't know if I want to invest in this person. Those are big things right there that's going to make your business. If you expand out and branch out and make sure that everybody is a potential client, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, that's a big thing. And, of course, the main goal is to try to generate resources within your community. What we want to do, we want to recycle money into our community, but don't be afraid to have that other, have somebody else outside of your community to invest in your business. Doesn't mean that they're going to take over. Doesn't mean that you're selling out, but you're just making an option available for money and resources to be brought in if you cannot get those resources within your community. And this is something that is a big dilemma with black-owned businesses. Black-owned businesses have this quandary of saying, how can I successfully get investors without appearing to sell out? You know, you look at Shark Tank. You look at Damian Jordan, who was the CEO of Fubu. You know, for us, by us. And for us, by us didn't completely stay for us, by us, according to our eyes. We felt that they sold us out when they invested, when they were bought out by investors. You know, he sold, you know, a percentage of his shares of stock with the company to some retailers who were Jewish that decided to take it in another direction. Of course, FUBU, in essence, fizzled out as far as the marketing and mainstream. However, you know, the success that he's had behind the scenes and the billions of dollars that he generated in became a bigger aspect of just not just shoe sales or clothing sales, but in general marketing in the clothing industry when it comes down to black-owned businesses. You know, you got to look at the kind of small-term hit you take for your long-term goals. You know, thin line that you're crossing right there. Look at Bob Johnson, look at BET. You know, that was a big problem that people have when it came down to BET. BET, black-owned business, was black-run, black advertising, black investors for decades. But when he sold out to Viacom, the marketing, the management, the facilitation of that particular organization went completely down. And that's because he invested not with the long-term goal of BET in mind, but with the short-term goal of how many billions he's going to get. That's a hard line to tiptoe. And it's all about doing it right. You can do it the FUBU way, where you're investing in other businesses in the clothing industry, or you can do it the Bob Johnson way, where he's very successful, but he did it in a way that destroyed the product. So that's something that even on a small time schedule, a small time of scenario can be difficult. You know, going back to the barbershop, going back to the hair salon, the restaurant, where if they get an investor that doesn't know the product but believes in you and believes in your knowledge of the product, then things can be very successful, i.e. Sylvia's. Sylvia's is successful in Harlem because she was able to get investors to believe that she knew how to grow the soul food market. And she did that. Glory, another company, successfully grew their market, you know, and kept it affordable for those who actually consume the products in our community. So those are big things. Another thing, when it comes down to black-owned businesses, another big discussion that I saw throughout the post over the past few days in regards to this topic is when it comes down to not just the advertising and resources, but just the way that the business is presented. Is this a business that is beneficial for our community? Some people have a concern over that, and that's why black-owned businesses are failing. People think that, okay, if we open up a restaurant, what is that restaurant going to be? Okay, fried chicken, fried fish, greasy greens. You know, if we do a barbershop, the barbershop is going to be mostly bootleg mixtapes. You know, the salon in the back is going to have a whole bunch of weave and, you know, and fake nails and fake hair, and it's everything that's not really positive influence on the community, though people think. But you got to look at general aspects of things. Not all of us go to a Korean store and expect to see all Korean food and China and, you know, and noodles and things like that. You can go, you know, don't go to an Indian restaurant and expect just Indian-based food. Yes, they want to gear it towards their community because they know that that's what's going to be successful. They initially say, you know what, I'm going to invest and make my business reflect my community. So if you do go to an Indian store, you're going to see a lot of things that reflect their culture, that reflect their heritage, that reflect the things that they want to present properly for their community. But at the same time, you're going to see a lot of Americanized stuff in that Indian store. You're going to see Americanized stuff in that Korean store. That's another fine line that we have to realize when we talk about black-owned businesses. Yes, we can keep it a business that invests well in our community, that shows a lot of positive aspects in our community. But sometimes a good way of product placement is to branch out and add extra scopes of things that might not be in your realm. You look at, Sir Richard Branson. Sir Richard Branson, Australia, you know, Kiwi, you know, when he started Virgin Records. Yeah, Virgin Records, you know, it started a little record store, branched that record store into broadband technology telephones, advanced that into airlines, advanced that into other resources that people were like, whoa, hold on. Why is this guy that was always just into records and music, you know, focusing now on airline companies? Because focusing now on, you know, broadband and prepaid cell phones and things like that. And this is something that you got to look at and say, hey, sometimes you got to diversify. That's a key word, diversify your business. No, don't just be, I'll take myself for example. Don't just be a relaxation, massage and wellness company. You can, but you have to make it where the product is worthwhile. You know, you do different things like aromatherapy. You do different things like energy healing. You do different avenues like butters and oils. So you're not just doing massages. You're creating a whole different entity where people can say, hey, this complete and full service. And I'm not just doing this to kind of, you know, promote my company, but you can always go on to tqmindbyrod@gmail.com. Email me if you're interested. but honestly, it's about creating a full brand. And that's the way it has to be. Unless you are an iconic company, take Ben's Chili Bowl. I come back to these companies because these companies are very popular, they're very successful, and they did it without violating their beliefs, without violating their style, and without quote unquote selling out. You know, you have Ben's Chili Bowls now, like in Virginia, not just that one on U Street. You have them in, you know, the Washington Nationals baseball park. These are ways to diversify and be successful. You know, they made it so that way, you know, you got Brian Williams and David Gregory leaving NBC Washington Studios and going to get themselves some Ben's Chili Bowl. You know, you have the president that want to stop and take time and say, hey, I want to get this. You know, you got a way to successfully diversify your product in order to make it a successful business. You know, the nightclubs. One big aspect of what made me think about this, because of nightclubs in the area, in the D.C. metro area and going on all across the country. What was going on here in Maryland, there was provision that the go-go clubs were being shut down or locked out because of the way that they felt that it was a violent and rowdy venue. Now, if you go to 5 or 10 miles across town in Adams Morgan, in Washington D.C., you know, these rock clubs, the Black Cats, the 930 clubs, similar environment, just with different people, just with a different clientele. However, they're not getting shut down or locked out. They might lose their liquor license for a day or two, but they still can run their business. But places like the Legend or the Classic, they're getting locked up for months because of the fact that people feel that they're a rowdy environment. Diversifying is very key. you can go to Black Cat one day and hear a metal group, and then the next day you might hear a rap group, and the next day you might hear a jazz group. They diversify their clientele, so that way the people that are trying to, you know, if they want to try to shut them down, could say, well, hey, you know, they do a lot of different cultural things as well. That's why you have to diversify. You can't just open up your club every Thursday or Friday night and just leave it at that. You have to make it where your business is presentable each and every day. You know, make it a local restaurant during the day. Maybe have some classical events in there. You know, maybe throw a ballet in there just to try to do something that's going to make people realize, okay, this is more than just Thursday night, Friday night go-go. You know, they make some family-friendly events to make things successful. For example, in Sterling, Virginia, every other Saturday you have Visual Lyric through Silver Line Records, Silver Line Productions, and they try to do something that is culturally based, open mic. People can do poetry, people can sing songs, people do artwork, you know, selling their clothing. That's how you do it. You diversify it where it creates a very successful venue. And plus, they also record music and do pictures and try to create and generate and grow businesses throughout. Now, a problem is, can this concept be successful and affordable? And that's where you have to set that line. And is the clientele going to come back if you have to raise your prices a little bit? That, when it comes down to black-owned businesses, is the biggest question. If we have to raise prices, how do we raise prices without turning people off? And this is my issue with our community. My biggest issue with our community is, if prices have to be raised, why do we immediately jump ship and say, you know what, I didn't want to go to that place anyway, they're tripping. I got to pay $3 now, I got to pay $4, really? You know, that shouldn't be the case. If I always take it back to the monsters. If Apple raises the price on their iPhone from $99 to $199, people are still going to line up around that corner and buy the $199 iPod or iPhone, which is the exact same product that they have in their pocket right now, but it might just have a different color on it or an extra button. And all that does makes a big difference to people that's going to spend between $100 and $200. But if a restaurant changes their price of their fried chicken from $3.99 to $4.05, then it's a big problem. Why is that? Why do we feel that any price range is a disrespect and a slap in the face to our community? It's about sign of the times. Yeah, the haircut used to be $10. You know, I can get the haircut $8, $10. Now a haircut is about $20, $25. If you pay tip, you're paying $30 for a haircut. If you can successfully go to Sport Clips and pay $25 for a haircut, why can't you go to, you know, the barbershop down the street and pay $25 for a haircut? You know, the only difference is, like I said, that money is being divested in your community. Sports Clips is going to some corporate office probably in California that has no bearing on your community. And this is our biggest issue. We get turned off when the economy forces people to change their prices just slightly. You know, you got your hair done, you know, a wash and set for $30. Now that wash says $35. Oh, Lord, it's too much money. Oh, that's crazy. I'd rather just go to the Dominican and pay $60. You know, I mean, is that investing in your community? Then is that investing in your neighborhood? No. It's not investing in your neighborhood. It's investing in someone else who realizes, hey, you know, there's a market out here. I'm going to take it and invest in it. And I'm going to put it back in my community and put some more profit in my pockets. Meanwhile, our businesses are going left and right. You know, we open up a restaurant, and that restaurant closes after 2 weeks. Why? Because we didn't take the time to focus on what needs to be done in order to be successful. And once again, this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, and this is something that really also needs to be discussed. So definitely appreciate all your comments. I want to keep this going afterwards on Facebook and Twitter. I want to hear your responses on this. Like I said, unfortunately, the phone lines are down, so that's why I'm not able to get on the phone and talk to people, but I do appreciate everybody listening right now. And this podcast is a one-hour podcast, so I definitely want a lot of people just to take the time and listen to what we were discussing on this show today and think about how to develop your business and help your business grow. Businesses develop slowly sometimes and periodically. You have to, one, know your market base, know where you're setting up. Don't set up a business in a place where it's not going to be conducive to your client base. You know, if you know the people that you're trying to market to are on a train line or on a bus line, don't put it in a place where they can't get to it by train or by bus. Simple things like that. Yes, you might spend an extra $100 less on your lease. Yes, and $100 less on your lease, you're losing $2,000 in profit because the people that you're trying to market to can't get there. Look at the building up and the growth of that particular neighborhood based on your clientele. If you put it in a place where you see three or four different places just closed down, once again, you're going to spend less money on your lease because there's nothing going there. Don't put your business in a shopping plaza or in a shopping center that is on the way down. Put it in a place of steady income, that means steady employment, you know, a steady base and flow of traffic, so that when people can walk by and say, oh, wow, I've never seen this place before, let me walk in and give it a try. If you do put it in a place that's on its way down, what you're doing, you're risking the opportunity of having less flow of traffic go into your place. And this is a big problem with black-owned businesses. We put it in places that are on the way down. Now, if you feel like if you're going to put it in that place that's on the way down and you're going to invest even more, saying, hey, I just saved me $500 on this lease, so now I can try to build my profit up, once again, advertise within your realm, within your base, you know, try to get investors so that way you can get another place and open up two shops and, you know, have one place as a restaurant, another place as a, you know, barbershop, another place as a clothing store. You know, you got to think beyond just the one little section that you were looking for. And if we do this, then we can develop those neighborhoods. Once again, you go to places like Vietnamese sections in Springfield, Virginia. Those Vietnamese sections were pretty much an old abandoned warehouse areas. You know, the Vietnamese who went in there got the lease for dirt cheap and said, hey, I'm going to invest. I'm going to take one-fifth of mine, put it into this business. You take one-fifth, put it in my business. You know, we're going to take one-fifth of all of our investing money, and we're going to split it up five ways. We're going to make five businesses and make five times the profit, and that's what they do. What do? We're not going to invest in somebody else's business. Well, shoot, I've got to get mine. And it goes back to the get mine attitude, which we have discussed on the show over and over again. Seems like we just cannot get away from the get mine attitude and get mine mindset of our businesses. You know, you have to do promotional advertising. And promotional advertising comes with, a slight risk and a lack of profit. You know, if I'm running a business and I see somebody else is running a business and I know they're investing in our community, I'm going to give them a special. So that way we can work together. Okay, I'm giving you a deep discounted special on this particular product or good or services that I'm doing. In return, you're advertising for me because you're saying, hey, this person just helped me out. We're working together. We're bartering. That's not a hookup. You got to know the difference between a hookup and a barter. A hookup is when you're giving a good or service and you know you're not getting anything back in return. You just gave somebody a deeply discounted rate on your good or your service, or even a free sample of your product, knowing that there's 95% chance they're not going to come back to you. A barter is different. A barter is saying, hey, I'm going to go and do promotional work or give you promotional products in your business or in your organization, knowing that you're going to give me advertising, so that way the people that you're giving these promotional products for or the promotional services I'm doing for you are going to come back to me. Once you learn the difference between a hookup and a barter, that's going to make your company so much more profitable because you're feeling that, hey, I just spent a little bit of time talking to the people that are going to help me in the long run. You have to learn how to do that. You can't have this get mine attitude, and that's where my closing thoughts for the night are going to be. Closing thoughts for the night on Rod's TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions. Once again, thank everybody that just took out the time and took the extra half hour to really listen to what we're talking about today. So closing thoughts on grand opening, grand closing is stop having to get mine attitude. You can't have that get mine attitude and feel that you're going to be successful. You will never be able to get yours if you don't see how you can get to each and every other person in your community. A community does not build off of one person being successful. That's why we have more millionaires and billionaires in the African-American community than any other point in the history of this country. Yet and still, the African-American community is in poverty. You know, there's a lot of resources and museums that cannot be built. There's a lot of infrastructure in our community that is being shut down, torn down, blown up, pushed aside, ran over because of the fact that we are not investing in our community. What's the use of being a multimillionaire? You're making $30, $40, $50, $100 million a year, but yet and still you can't invest $5,000, $10,000 to help build in the neighborhood that you grew up in. If you can't do that, then you're not rich to me. You're just someone that has a lot of money, and that's it. That's not being rich. You know, when you have rich soil, basically that means the ground is so fertile that not only the crops that you planted will grow, but also other plants will grow for a long term because you keep turning things over. You know, that's what rich means. So if you're a person that has a lot of money and you're not investing back into your community, or you have a successful organization, a successful company, and you're not investing back in the community that has helped build that particular organization or that particular company, then you're not rich. You're just a person that's getting yours and not realizing how to properly invest your money wisely. Once you figure out how to do that, then we'll have more black-owned businesses not only be successful, we'll have more black-owned businesses develop, because as teaching our kids, coming back to the very beginning of the topic and the very beginning of the show today, teaching our kids how to be positive, be successful, and be disciplined in trying to develop for the future. We have to have that discipline early. We have to have that discipline created to a point where our society sees, hey, we're trying to do things successful. You know, we don't have to worry about these businesses going to fall apart and fall aside. So if we do that, and we do that from a young age, and we grow and we nurture these dreams, these business goals, these business ideas that our children are having, and not try to shut it down early, and we realize we have to invest in our businesses, and realize we have to advertise it properly, and make sure we do it in a positive way that's going to funnel back into our community, then black-owned businesses will always be thriving, always be successful, and we can actually put the money that we're putting in other companies into our neighborhoods. And those are my final thoughts for tonight. And as always, this is Rod Stevie's show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, and we also have Love Talk. As a reminder, Love Talk is moving to 9 o'clock for the next few weeks, so definitely look forward to speaking with you. Doug Love and I are going to go over a couple topics. It's about blossoming. It's about blooming. It's about developing and growing. So that's what we're talking about now, and also for my Stevie show each and every Sunday for the next couple weeks. Is going to be at 10 o'clock, one-hour shows, so definitely keep a lookout for the topics that we have available going into the springtime, going into April and May. So once again, thank everybody for listening. So until next time, I'll talk to you next week.